welcome everyone to Life of the Girlfriends with Christine Marie and Julie. Christine Marie here, and tonight we're going to speak about narwhal, or is it narwhals? I'll let the song decide. Going to chat about Russell Simmons and what's going on with him right now. And, you know, last week we talked about the talk. This week we're going to talk about the conversation. And we're going to talk about my son Greg and his new dad cast at Punkette Films on YouTube. Check it out.
Hello, hello, hello. Welcome to Life with the Girlfriends with Christine Marie and Julie.
Hi, Julie.
Hey, Christine Marie.
I'm tired of you giving me the same cold back and forth. It's sort of like that sourdough bread from
our friendship bread, right?
Friendship bread
keeps growing in the refrigerator.
Yeah,
just keep passing some here and some there.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
When you first found out about friendship bread, mm-hmm. Did it not make you want to gag?
I kind of thought, how germy.
Exactly.
Kind of germy.
I thought to myself, how dare you give me something that's 100 years old or longer.
Yeah.
It's sort of like the perpetual fruitcake.
Yes.
You know, and during this holiday season, we all know that we're going to get at least one fruitcake that we're going to pass along.
It's the same one, only it goes through the, you know, different hands.
I don't know if this is true or not. Mm-hmm. In my memory, I'm with my friend Melissa, and it's right around Christmas time, and for Christmas, instead of getting a bonus from her, she might get a little bonus money-wise from her boss, mm-hmm. they all got this fruitcake from Fannie Mae. From Fannie Mae. This is my memory. I could be totally wrong.
Okay.
But it was a Pixies fruitcake.
Whoa.
And it had caramel in it, and it was dipped in chocolate and had big pecans in it. And
now,
I'm
that's
like,
a fruitcake.
I'm like, well, and I had it was already sliced for you, you know, and it was came in like a fruitcake pan. Mm-hmm. But it was already sliced, and each one was individually wrapped.
Oh my gosh!
And so I took one, and I thought, this is the
best,
thing I've ever had in my life.
Yeah.
And it was elusive because I've been trying to have it. It's sort of like narwhals, which I want to talk about later.
Oh,
You know, the elusive narwhals. Yes. And is narwhal plural? Like deer. There's not deers. It's a deer, right, or the deer.
And there's a narwhal and narwhals.
Is there narwhals?
I don't think so.
It's just narwhal.
It's the narwhal.
Yeah. There's a narwhal over there. Look at the narwhal.
You were like yesterday, Mom. Yeah. I go,
yeah.
Do you know what a narwhal is? Like you're like, oh, like that in a bag of chips. I went, yeah, it's a whale.
Yeah.
And you went, oh, okay.
Okay.
I burst your bubble.
Well, okay. Well, here's how I was introduced to narwhals. Or maybe I'll talk about this a little later. But I want to talk about my narwhal problem, my narwhal issue.
I can't wait to hear about your narwhal
issue. And my, I'm rereading one of my favorite books, The Seven Spiritual Laws of Success by Deepak Chopra.
And you're so generous to be reading it to me.
Out loud. Am I? You're watching something, you're biking, and I'm just like, hey, did you hear this about this? And you're like, well, come in and read it to me now. Because you underline this, because I know what your underlines look like, and I know what my underlines look like. And together, this book will be completely underlined by the time it's said and done.
So, I think it's so awesome, though, because we do go back and reread things.
Yes.
Including the Bible.
Yes.
And it's interesting because we now have about four or five Bibles in the household.
Yes,
so I just bought Norm one for his birthday so he can leave it in the truck. But I've got my first one that I got in 1970.
Yeah.
And so
not your first one. The first one was an adult woman.
Yes, yes.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, no, I don't. It was my first Bible.
Oh, that's what you're Catholic.
As Catholics, we're not like, it's not like Bible, Bible. No.
No.
So it's like 1970. And what's fascinating to me is I underlined things in the 70s. And to go back and, you know, read the things that I thought were very, very important to me. Still important.
Yes.
But that you underlined, you know, decades ago. And the same thing with this book, The Seven Spiritual Laws of Success. We underlined things, and now we must have thought, wow, that was so profound.
Well, I remember when you bought the book Shambhala, probably in the early 80s, maybe late 70s.
Yes.
I don't know.
Yeah, it was in the 70s.
And you bought several of them to pass out to friends. I don't know.
Yeah, because it was like game-changing to me.
Right. And I would go back and read that periodically, and you're going, why did I underline this? but why did I underline this? This is more important to me right now.
Yeah.
So you realize as you mature, get older, or whatever the times are asking from you, you're hearing things differently. I was listening
to... It's
true
about the evolution of your brain even.
I was listening to Ancient Aliens this morning, way early. I think it was on A&E or something like that, or History Channel, which I love the fact that Ancient Aliens is on the History Channel. That makes me so happy. And David Wilcock, who we've been watching on Gaia TV, just comes up and say, goes, the Bible is the most amazing ancient literature that we have that specifically talks about aliens and extraterrestrials coming to this planet and living amongst us.
I know.
I'm like, you go there, mister.
What's so cool is like the preacher that Dad listens to.
Yeah.
It talks about the aliens all the time. And as just matter of fact.
As a matter of fact. And then you think this world is a big encompassing thing. And yet I know if some of my friends or some of my friends who are they're dating, I'm not sure I would want to approach them and talk about this because this stuff fascinates me.
Right.
I love ancient texts.
And then because some people are just like, their mind is like, it's closed. It's
the planet is only 6,000 years old.
Right.
You're being misinformed.
Right.
I'm like, oh, okay. But I really want to talk about this.
Yeah.
Well, there's no reason to talk about it because you're wrong.
And what's so important right now is you'll hear a lot of professors, doctors, everybody saying right now at this moment in time, it's important to have the conversation. Now, I don't know which one. They're all talking about different ones.
Oh, for heaven's
sake. But the idea is that you're, and it really is true. We're supposed to have the conversation.
Like we talked about last week. What conversation, UCLA did not have the conversation with their basketball team going over to China.
Right.
Did the Olympians get the conversation about, you're not representing yourself. You're representing the United States of America.
And I heard this wonderful talk. I want to give her props, but I can't think of her name. Maybe you can look it up during the show.
Yeah.
But she's a family therapist, a marriage therapist. And she talked about people having affairs on each other.
Right.
And she talked about her job was to be able to hold a container big enough that could hold both people's pain.
Yes.
And without having to choose. You know, to be able to really, and by doing that, they could have the conversation.
Right.
You know, one person could say, here's where I hurt, all these different places.
Right.
And the other person is safe enough to say, and you know that over time then, that there will be something that will truly, if you're allowed to hold this, you know, this vessel of pain,
right,
there will be something that will come out of it that will evolve from those real organic conversations without somebody saying, oh, wait a minute, I believe in marriage, therefore I've got to get over this, or I believe in divorce, you don't put up with this crap.
This is a line of therefore, sand that no one ever crosses.
And so if you've come with this prejudgment of an issue, you're not going to evolve the conversation, you're not going to evolve the thing that you're talking about, you know?
Well, and I think that's a really good point, what you're saying. And somehow it takes a third party to open up the conversation of the talk.
Right.
Because I was watching MSNBC and, the morning show with Mika and...
Yeah, Morning Joe.
Morning Joe, thank you. And neither one of those people are called Joe, right?
Yeah, Joe Scarborough.
Oh, Joe's the other guy?
The guy that dates Mika.
Okay. Yeah. So Morning, how did he get Mika then? Why don't they call it Morning Joe and Mika?
I don't know.
I think it's a problem. We have to have a talk about that. We have to have the talk, what this all means. But he brought up a point about if you want to have, he was interviewing someone who was holding the space to have a bigger talk about this.
Right.
And she was a doctor and she was very thoughtful and reflective.
Right.
And he said, I want to have a bigger talk and the talk.
Right.
But you're afraid to because you don't want to be called a sexual predator.
Right.
Or like you're anti-women.
You want to be able to talk about it without going, oh, I can see where you're going with this. No, I'm not going anywhere with it.
Right.
Like he said, too, I think I was privy to that conversation.
I'm sure you would. Yes, you were. You probably were. Because she is the Ant-Man sidekick. She can be. She's a fly girl. She's fly girl.
Like he said, sometimes you really want to talk. I want to talk about black people and how their
culture.
That's
what he said.
But he goes, if you do, then you're labeled racist.
He didn't say I want to talk about black people.
I said that.
But he said, I want to talk about race.
Right.
But if you talk about race, you come across as being a racist.
Yes.
And I understand that.
So therefore, you can't have the conversation.
Because we go a little deeper, and HBO had a documentary on, I think, building Baltimore or Baltimore tearing down. I don't know. But it's about Black Lives Matter a little bit. And I haven't watched all of it yet. Mm-hmm. But definitely it's a documentary about this one family, these kids who are advocates and how they see themselves as part of the solution, mm-hmm. and how they work this out. And what happens is that you also want to talk about the case in Arizona where this white man was, killed and murdered by a police officer too. Because if you only listen to one side,
right.
you think, right. Oh my God, police officers are just killing only black people.
Right.
No, they're there's a lot of death going on.
Yeah.
And sometimes police officers get killed too.
Right.
And I want to talk about the whole problem.
Right.
And how do we solve the whole problem? Because and can it be solved?
Well,
or are we just a violent society in
exactly,
general?
Exactly. Like I was listening to a person in Congress talking about all the sexual stuff with John Conyers and all that stuff, and she was saying, I want to be able to have the conversation.
Yes.
I want to be able to have it. And they kept saying, well, don't you want to call for his resignation? Don't you want him to? And she's saying, that may be the result, but it's too soon for me. I've got a lot of things to figure out.
Yes.
And that's
part of the conversation.
But people want to have a rush to an answer. And like, for example, when I talked about this marriage counselor.
Yes.
There have been, as a counselor myself, there have been many, many times where I've been counseling people and they'll say, well, what do you think? What do you think? And it's not my job, because it's your job to get to the place where you can actually decide for yourselves.
Right.
Because I can remember counseling someone just very recently and said, well, I guess we're going to get a divorce. I guess we are. And I said, let's not
muddy the waters with that.
Let's not do that right now. You're in severe crisis.
Yeah.
Let's equalize. Let's balance the situation a little bit. Get out of crisis.
Right.
And then proceed from there. Because whether you get divorced or not, it's not going to help you in the crisis right now.
No.
And it wouldn't be fair to as a marriage counselor say, well, I heard this week this one guy, he was having trouble with his gender identity, and he mm-hmm. went to a therapist back 20 something years ago, mm-hmm. and the therapist said, well, you need to take hormones and become a woman,
right,
and all of that. And he did, because he thought my
That's
therapist
what I have to do, yeah.
knows what to do. And so on the therapist's deathbed, basically he's dying of AIDS, calls for him and said, I need to apologize to you, because this is where my head was. And I sort of really recommended this in a flawed state. You know, so what I'm saying is, it's difficult to just come down and say, I recommend this.
Yeah.
As a therapist.
Yes.
Somebody has to.
These big life decisions.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, here.
Because right now, we are under the philosophy, if you have a problem, follow someone who has a problem and solved it and use their template. But guess what? Their template may not solve your problem or may not be the right solution for yours.
Absolutely.
And certainly 20 years ago, if you were in gender crisis or having a gender identity,
right.
I would have been in the same mind. Well, like, oh, well, let's just get this taken care of then.
Right.
And then you'll be better, right? Because
it's
only about this.
Right.
But nowadays, with fluidity, as well as you can have this and be perceived a different way, I'm going, the one thing I've taken from this is that you have time. You, nothing has to be done
beautiful
today. You beautiful have time.
Beautiful.
And we can be that way. And I love the idea of we have time, because you don't know how you're going to feel once you're out of your 20s.
No.
Or into your 30s, mm-hmm, or into your 40s, mm-hmm, because you do feel differently, mm-hmm, and your hormones are different. I'm not saying you're not going to still identify as a man or a woman if you're not that way or mm-hmm whatever, mm-hmm, but I appreciate this idea of having, giving each other time and space. You know, you've busted me this week. You busted my balls, you want me to say
all
that?
All right. Tell me how.
You know, I always say I want to say something, but I don't want to have my words thrown back to me later on.
Yes, like, yes, you do say that.
And that's not. And,
I just go, I was listening, Julie.
Yes, but sometimes you put you put the mother slant to it. You know, like how I've been doing apple cider vinegar with the mother?
The mother, yeah.
Yes, I feel like, you know, you put the mother slant on a lot of things.
Which makes it very bitter.
Amazing. No kidding. I didn't mean it that strongly, okay? You've just taken it up about 10 inches or 10 notches, and you're like, well, this is what you said. Okay, I might have said something slightly like that, but with a softer attitude. I don't know. But
So what are we talking about?
Yes, well, you know how I always, you say, I know you hate the phrase, why now?
Oh, yes, yes.
Because you have said to me, oh, why now, Julie? Yes. Why now do this?
Right.
You're always telling me it's not because you're busting me of like, oh, now you're being productive, or now you're putting energy out of this after we've had this fight or whatever. You're really curious about my motivation for this. Mm-hmm. But now in hearing this conversation, what you're having, mm-hmm, the next iteration is just why? You know, mm-hmm, having like, okay, why do you want to get divorced? Well, why? Mm-hmm. Okay, well, why this? Mm-hmm. Keep asking the why questions. And maybe by then, the conversation will get to a real,
yes,
real level for that.
I totally agree by asking the right questions.
Right.
Because we come with a preordained set of convictions, whether, yeah, we really believe it or not. Some because we, at 3 years old, we saw something or somebody did, yeah, something, and we've never questioned it. It's yeah been like a baseline.
Yes.
And right now, this is a great time to reconsider our baselines. Mm-hmm. Just question them.
Just question them.
Just question them, saying, this is why.
Well,
I
I've been going
this
through, I'm part of the rumor mill right now with someone I know who is, might be cheating on their spouse. Mm-hmm. And this happened before and they worked it out. And of course, everybody knows about it. Mm-hmm. Because once you tell one person, mm-hmm, that person then now
says this, you're not supposed to tell anybody, but.
But, yeah. But let me share this information with,
right,
you.
Right.
And so therefore, he's putting the burden on that other person to not tell the wife, to tell the wife, to, mm-hmm, tell friends, mm-hmm, to tell family members. And the big story is, the spouse of that person didn't go to a Thanksgiving dinner with the family, you know, because the let's say the husband was the one that was cheating.
Mm-hmm.
It was. Let's just say it was. And he's done it before. Mm-hmm. And but he has a huge family, mm-hmm, and very big on holidays and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And this year was the first year the wife did not go to Thanksgiving dinner.
Because of the
who
rumor?
Knows why?
Of the...
But most likely because of the rumor of the affair.
Well, I don't blame her.
I wouldn't go either.
Yeah.
But the biggest problem I have is that he told somebody about it.
Mm-hmm.
Because now she has to deal with the fact that...
That's horrible.
Other people know.
Mm-hmm.
And she just can't deal with the fact like, okay, maybe our marriage is something different, mm-hmm, during this stage of our life.
Mm-hmm.
I think the one thing Dan Savage has brought to me is this idea of marriage is a work in process and a progress. And sometimes people are different throughout the marriage. And what if during this time they both agreed that we're monogamish,
mm-hmm,
doesn't mean we're going to dissolve the marriage.
Mm-hmm.
But what happens though is when the other person, like, I think having an affair is different than dating.
Dating someone else, you mean?
Yes. Like, if you're having an affair, mm-hmm, I feel that's sexual.
Yeah.
But if you're dating someone outside the marriage that is also having, and you're also having sex, you're spending money. Like, mm-hmm, more things are involved in the relationship. You know, like,
oh,
you're
taking
you're not just taking yourself out of the marriage to have an affair with someone, you know, however that worked out.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're also, quote unquote, dating or planning a future, you know, you're taking resources from your family. You mm-hmm. know, they've got mm-hmm. kids. Mm-hmm. You know, you're taking money from the family budget.
Okay, I get it. You know, I get what you're saying. Okay.
And maybe I'm wrong on that.
No, but I had to stretch my mind to, yeah, and, to figure where you were coming from that.
And those are the things that I think really hurt a marriage. Mm-hmm. Because, yeah, you have sex, and you might still need sex or whatever, and maybe she can work that out, or they can work it out together. Mm-hmm. But then it's all the little stuff. Like, oh, is that the reason why you lost 10 pounds? Because mm-hmm. you were trying to impress her mm-hmm. or me, you know? Mm-hmm. Or did you were you working overtime to make a little extra money so you can spend on her, mm-hmm. not us, your mm-hmm. family? Mm-hmm. Those are the other issues that come mm-hmm. up.
Now, for me, when I hear this story,
yeah,
you know, this is where I want to know more about people because
yeah.
in my mind, if I was having an affair,
yeah.
I would not tell anyone.
Wouldn't want to tell anyone.
I would want to keep it quiet. So my thought is you're too fucking chicken
yeah.
to tell your wife
right.
that you're unhappy
right.
or that you're whatever.
Right.
And you're hoping that it gets around enough that she'll find out.
And then she'll have to do something.
And then she'll have to make the decision. Because you don't have enough balls
right.
to make the decision.
Right.
Or to stand up. That's how, that's,
I totally agree with you.
That makes me angry.
That makes me angry too.
Truly does.
I totally feel the same way.
Because I've seen this in men a lot.
Yeah.
That they just, they don't have enough foresight
right.
to think how this is a person that they've had children with, yeah. that they love.
And they're young kids. They're not like 19
years
old.
And that you
old.
Would
These
do this to
children.
Someone just because you don't. And I've actually heard men say, well, I don't have to talk to her about this because shouldn't she get the message?
Yeah.
Shouldn't she just know?
Yes.
That I'm, you know, since I backed away, I don't do this anymore. Shouldn't she get the message?
Yes.
Cowards. What about, this is what Dan Savage said, use words.
Yes, use words.
Use your words.
Use your words.
Man up.
Yeah. Well, and people, I think people genuinely don't want to man up. I know I don't sometimes if I don't have to, but I try not to get myself in those kind of hairy situations.
Yeah.
Those are like the big ones.
Yeah, I agree.
But there's so many layers to an affair that I think having someone outside the family to talk mm-hmm. to with that person daily, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. can maybe you can work it out and find out and then come to some agreement because it's not fair if it's a lie. Mm-hmm. It's not fair if it's one-sided. Mm-hmm. And That's the problem I always have with an affair. Mm-hmm. And when they tell someone, I feel the same way. You're being a coward because you wanted to get back to subconsciously. You want to get back to her, mm-hmm. or you want someone
especially
to resolve
if you have like
your
50
guilt.
People in your family,
yeah.
and you've told over half of those.
Yes.
It's going to get around to her.
Of course it is. Of course. And I always know that divorce with kids after the fact hardly ever looks good. Like, the drama never just stops.
Right.
Like, oh, I'm divorced, thank God.
Yeah.
Oh, no. Crap.
Yeah.
I've got
now I've got a meet at Walmart.
Yeah.
On the weekends.
You know, I mean, you have that. I go, oh, my God, I've got to fend for myself. You know, when you're in a, when mm-hmm. you have younger kids, mm-hmm. typically one parent is taking the role of mm-hmm. caring for those children mm-hmm. more, and they're backing off their own financial success.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, you're not.
And at some point, the guy or the girl who, let's say the woman he had the affair with,
yeah.
realizes, well, wait a minute, I was the other woman.
Yes.
And now I'm not. Does he have another woman?
Yes.
The other woman, you know, that yeah. starts creeping into the conversation.
I remember I had a friend who, when I was much younger, you know, early 20s, who was married with two young kids, and she had an affair on her husband. Mm-hmm. And subsequently, they got divorced, and they got engaged, and she got married to this other person that she had an affair with. And then after they got married, he goes, I'm the only person you had an affair with, right? You would never... I'm like, he can't say it. He can't ask you that question. Mm-mm. That's a dumbass question.
And I'm like, because I'm special, right?
Yeah, I'm the special
I'm
one.
So I'm so special.
I'm so special that mm-hmm. you. And I,
see, wouldn't it have been helpful to have these conversations.
Yes.
Before all this happens.
I know.
What's your opinion on this? What's your opinion on this? How would you feel about
this? And then keep
this?
Having it and knowing that.
Yeah.
I would love to say that we all behave so wonderfully all the time.
Right.
But we don't.
Right.
And I don't behave perfectly. I know that Doug doesn't behave perfectly. We don't have those big issues I'm aware of. But let me keep it that way. I don't want to be aware of anything. I like living in a bubble.
I want to put my head in the sand.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I know, too, because I would wonder. I mean, Dad and I have been married a long, long time.
Yeah.
But I sometimes wonder, you know, if he had an affair, how would it resolve itself? You know, how would it resolve itself?
Right.
Because at this point, I wouldn't say, well, you're out of my life.
Right.
But I also would be like, how do I regain trust again?
Well, it wouldn't be trust with a dad for me. Like, it would, like, let's say a kid walked up to the front door and I'm your secret sister or brother and from your dad's other family, you know, because he's a truck driver over the road if you have another family. I don't think so. He's a little tired.
Yeah, that he has a sleeper.
Yeah, exactly. You never know. But I think my first thing would be like, I would be so doubtful of my own judgment of character. Because, mm-hmm. you know, I'd be like doubtful. Like, yeah. I can't believe it.
Yeah.
I go, we're going to hand you a blood test. I go, because I just don't believe this. I would need some scientific evidence here to prove this to me. It could happen, I guess. It could not.
It would be wild.
Well, you know what, though? You did fire our father. My father.
I did fire him. Starman Norman?
Yes.
From the opening of the show?
Yeah, you fired him. I was surprised. You just said, I'm done with this.
Yeah.
You fired him.
Yeah.
And you gave just cause. It's a different culture now.
Yeah. I mean, sexual misconduct.
Yeah.
I'm the president and I'm head of human resources.
Yes.
The man had to go.
He was performing badly. Or was he? I don't know what he was doing wrong, but it was something sexual and some kind of misconduct. And I just left it at that. Because by any more than that, I had to put my fingers in my ears. And I'm like, I don't want to know.
I was like, wondering where you're going to put your fingers at. But, you know, if the audience, if they want him back, just write in. Just email us.
Let Norm back.
Talk to us at lifewithagirlfriends.com.
Yes. Okay, for sure. And we'll bring him back. But
Possibly.
But for now, he's
gone.
Or at least on suspension.
He's on suspension. He's taking a reflective vacation.
Yeah.
To see how he's, you know. He's just coming up to, you know. He's expanding his consciousness. Isn't that what Russell Simmons said?
Yes.
But he said, I've taken a couple of studios that I have, and I'm taking them and making them reflective healing studios.
Yes.
So that I can take some time off and expand my consciousness and find out what I've been, you know. He said he's never been violent.
No, while I have never been violent,
decisions.
I have been thoughtless and insensitive in some of my relationships over many decades.
That's right.
Well, it's funny because
I predicted this a month ago.
You kept saying, when's the rap star coming?
Yeah.
And I think he ticks off a couple of boxes for you.
I agree.
He ticks off billionaire.
Yep.
He ticks off, because I don't think we've had a billionaire yet. Well, Harvey might have been a billionaire.
Possibly.
Or close.
Yeah.
And I don't know if he's a billionaire, Russell Simmons, but I think he's probably up there, you know. And, you know, mogul, business mogul, and a rapper.
Right.
A rap star.
Right.
And he said, Simmons did say the culture is going through a time of great transition, and said he did not want to be a distraction from the work of his companies. He also plans to convert a studio he founded for yogic science into a not-for-profit center of learning and healing. The companies will now be run by a new and diverse generation of extraordinary executives who are moving the culture and consciousness forward, Simmons added. As for me, I will step aside and commit myself to continuing my personal growth, spiritual learning, and above all, to listening. You know, dude, here's the deal with this stuff. If you would have come up with this comment a year ago, I'd go, good for you. you started the conversation. Mm-hmm. You're 30 guys in. Mm-hmm. Guess what? I don't care. You probably had this written about a month and a half ago, 2 months ago.
Just waiting.
You're going to have to come up. We're going to have to come up with a plan here.
Yeah.
Because he stepped down real quick.
Yeah.
I think he should have stepped down earlier and just come. You know what? I didn't realize the culture was different back then. Mm. I was listening to a radio show.
Culture is like. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you.
No, you're fine.
But I have a on my playlist. I have some rap songs.
Yeah.
And
about 10 years old.
I'm really surprised at the words.
Yes.
I'm really surprised. Yeah. And I always kind of giggle.
Yeah.
When it comes to some of the lines.
Yes.
You know. And yeah. And I just don't know, like in this one rap song, he rhymes the word truth, and he goes truth and birthday shoot. And that's my favorite part. Yeah. I'm like, I don't want to know that truth. It's a good in a birthday shoot.
Yeah. Well, when you
is that racist like, now?
No, it's not racist. Good. But you like the lines. But I remember listening, being, I don't know, 16 years old.
16.
Yeah, 16. Pick that.
Damn you, Julie.
Yeah, figure out what age I was there, people. I was 16. Not to be confused with sexting, but 16. And I was driving with Aunt Irma. Uh-huh. And we're playing a radio station, probably going to Ohio, and maybe I was probably younger than my 16 years. And we were listening to Prince, Little Red Corvette. Mm-hmm. And baby, you're much too fast. Now I'm just jamming. And then she goes, aren't Trojans a brand of condoms? And I'm like, what are you talking about? And I'm like, yeah, but I don't think that's what this song is about. And then all of a sudden, I'm listening to this song through my ears and my Aunt Irma. I'm going, oh, this might be the dirtiest song ever. I don't know. I thought it was about a little red Corvette. No, I'm not sure. I'm not sure. But, you know, they're talking about Trojans, and I'm not even sure what this is about. And, we're going to go to the horse and watch the horses run fast. And you're like, I thought it was just about horses.
That's really true, because and a Corvette. When you're young, you don't really get it.
No.
And then all of a sudden,
this is a good beat.
Yeah. Wild horses and the little red Corvette.
Yeah.
Well, like in my song, one of my
and
songs.
That Corvette's much too fast.
That's right. Yeah. In my song, one of the guys goes, I'm going to have to hold her head down while I milk the cow.
Yeah.
Now, I'm just thinking if I was a little kid, he's milking a cow.
He's milking a cow.
But now,
as an adult,
I'm not so sure.
Now I look at you when you're working out and you're like giggling and laughing. And I'm like, what are you laughing at? So all of a sudden, things that you think about when you're a little kid, they don't mean anything sexual.
No.
And so when you hear it through the ears of someone older, mm-hmm. and they're quizzing you about it, and then you're going, oh crap, maybe this song is not appropriate for the ears of my Aunt Irma and older.
Like when we were in the 1960s, there would be songs like, a guy coming through town, he picks up a girl, takes her in his van down to the river.
Yeah.
And then when he has to get going, he just drops her off in the middle of town, shoeless.
Yeah.
And she's got
dirt roads.
Yeah. And like, that's a great song. Then you realize, no, wait a minute.
He just picked up a hitchhiker, raped her, and threw her on the back.
Yeah, and she was like 14 years old,
And then you'll hear songs that were popular.
Yeah.
She's just 16 years old, leave her alone, they say. I'm like, I like that song.
Yeah.
Until you realize it's a 45-year-old who wrote it. And you're going, ew. Leave her alone. They all say that. Listen to the masses on this one, people.
Just leave her alone.
Leave her alone. She may be expressing herself sexually, and isn't that wonderful? But let me tell you something. Someone has to be the adult in this relationship.
Yeah.
And it's you.
Right.
And, you don't have
that's
to
so
show
true.
Her the world, because that's what he wants to do in the song. He wants to pick her up and show her the world. And, how sweet is that? Oh, isn't that lovely?
Yeah.
It's just great.
It's depressing.
Yeah. It's all
depressing. It's depressing because I know that, there somewhere in that young person's background.
Yes.
There was a wound or several wounds.
Yeah.
That in a way that built up this personality.
Right.
And so, like for example, that guy we talked about that the therapist said, oh, you need to take hormones and become a woman. I know that story, and there was a lot of sexual abuse. So it was one thing to say, oh, we're solving this by this, but it didn't solve the original wounds of what happened. And when those became, when he started really working with that, he didn't have to become a woman. Do you see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And so I guess I'm saying that we can, if we're willing to talk and we're willing to really listen and hold it and not solve something so fast.
Well, and I think that is the issue with the millennials, because they grew up in technology. When I talk to millennials, things are more black and white with them in some areas. And maybe because they act out so much online, like their bad behaviors and are acted out online, that maybe in reality, mm-hmm. everybody can just, you know, they don't have that. Mm-hmm. But I think anybody older, we have a lifetime of people behaving badly in certain situations, and we're all dealing with the whole concept of it all, mm-hmm. if that making any sense.
Well,
I don't know.
For you and I had this conversation a couple of days ago. I was saying, if I was, you know, let's say I was single, even though I'm a mature person and having, you know, a relationship, consensual relationship, I in no way would want to send a picture of any genitalia through my phone.
Yeah, no.
Especially, like, if it had a face connected to it.
That'd be stupid.
Sorry.
You said face connected to it?
Yeah. Or just a face drawn on it.
Or like whose face connecting to it? You're bringing up the point about, I don't know the whole story. I know only rumors and innuendos about this story about the senator. Oh, is this senator?
I don't know what he is. Oh, okay. Senator or congressman.
But he's in trouble because he sent pictures of himself. And the woman who received him saved him, and now is blackmailing him over him, or bringing him up, saying, you know, whatever.
Yeah. But see, obviously he must have his face in it, because if it wasn't, he could deny it. Correct.
I would. Yeah. So
I'm saying, if you're going to send your junk.
Yeah. Okay. So wait. Dun 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 dun. Words of wisdom from Christine Marie. Here is the words of wisdom. Go ahead, mother.
What?
If you're going to send your junk through the email, through the mail, the junk mail, do not have your face attached.
Exactly.
Deniability, plausible deniability.
Yes.
I suggest that you have a burner phone, that you then do that and never have your face. I suggest you do drawings of your junk.
Just do drawings.
And then take a picture of that and go, here's a picture of my junk. Or you open up your junk drawer, take a picture of it, here's a picture of my junk. I hope you're happy.
Yeah, here's my real junk.
Here's my real junk. And don't call my junk junk, all right?
Yeah, really.
When did that happen?
Really?
You know, come on.
I'm embarrassed that I even called it junk.
I know, you should be.
I know.
That is an inappropriate phrase.
I call it your genitalia.
So can I possibly change the subject really quick?
This is just, that was my cousin from Monrovia.
Genitalia. Genitalia. I like that name for a girl. It's a pretty name.
Yeah.
Oh, what's your name? Genitalia. Hmm. Genitalia D'Antoni. Uh-huh. What do you call it? We call you for short, Jenny. Just Jenny. I'm like, oh, good.
Jenny from the block.
Jenny from the block. Yep, that's my name. Yeah. I like it.
I remember one time, this was in the 70s, that I met a girl and I asked her, she was Spanish, and I asked her what her name was, or we were talking, and she said her name was Famali.
Uh-huh.
And then I said, well, that's a very interesting name. And she goes, well, that's what it was on my birth certificate. So my mom decided to name me that. And it was F-E-M-A-L-E.
Oh, no.
So they
called her Famali. Famali. And it's like... Is that a joke? Is that real?
That's real.
That's a real story.
It's a real story.
Okay. And if people don't know that spelled, it's spelled female.
Yeah. But it was the 70s.
It was the 70s. It was wild. And as one of my millennial friends says, you know, we're like the 70s, but with intelligence. I'm sure every baby boomer wants to give the millennials a finger.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
Here's the finger. Yeah. We have made it easy for you guys. You have no hardship.
Yeah. Yeah. What? I have to go to work and work?
Yeah.
That's ridiculous.
Exactly.
You just want a body here, right?
That's right.
I'm just here for a body.
I'm here to work on my, to get paid to work on my social media site to really bring in the money.
Yeah, because I'm really just working on my social media.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I'm a social media person. I'm curious what my little nieces are going to be like and, you know, when they grow up. Or my step grandkid.
It'll be crazy.
What will their life be in 20 years? I can't even imagine. But it's going to be a wild ride. And luckily for me, no matter what happens, I've got a year's supply of food in the basement. So I'll be good to go with my little handgun in place.
Tell me your narwhal story.
Okay, so anyway, we're focusing on the spiritual laws, seven spiritual laws of success by Deepak Chopra.
Right.
This book that I've adored off and on through my life.
Right.
I've always adored it, but it hasn't been continually part of my life.
And what was so sweet about this book is that it's so small.
Yes.
And it's like some of the most profound things in life are like that.
Yes.
They're just a few pages.
Yeah.
It's just sweet.
Exactly. And so I'm looking at
this. Because we tend to complicate things so much.
No kidding. Looking at this, I'm reading this book again, and the first steps, and it's good to review things because you have things in place that you do, and then you forget, and you get out of alignment with who you are and the spiritual laws of success. Mm-hmm. And one of the things he talks about in the first law of pure potentiality and how to connect with that is to, one, be in silence for an hour a day, maybe.
Right, right.
You know, and that means no radio, no TV, no talking. Mm-hmm. You can go about your life just be in silence. Mm-hmm. And then talks about 30 minutes in the morning, 30 minutes at night of meditation.
Right.
And what that means, and people are going, I had to be at work by 9. I had to get up at 7 to get to, you know, all these things. And it does, you know, it does feel like.
Now I got to get up another half hour.
To meditate.
Yeah.
And so we suggest doing 10 minutes of meditation or even like a 2 or 3 minute meditation. Mm-hmm. We talk about that in that book we're writing right now about stress. And how it affects your body. And the third thing he talks about is going into nature every day. Because by witnessing nature, you immediately are connected to that field of pure potentiality. Mm-hmm. And you see the grace and beauty of, and he means grace in a lot of different ways. Mm-hmm. He means grace, like the ease of grace, mm-hmm. but the blessings of grace in your life through nature. And then I happened to be watching Nova this week. And I was watching Nova and talking about the retraction of the ice caps, the polar ice caps up in the North Pole. And, you know, that's beneficial to some and not so beneficial to the others. Mm-hmm. There's always winners and losers in nature. I'm witnessing this. And all of a sudden, they talk about, I'm reading the description, and it talks about narwhals. And I swear, and I'm going to share this song with you guys right now, because I'm not a moron, but I play one on TV sometimes. I did not know narwhals were 100% real. I thought they were fictitious creatures. And I will tell you why. Let's see if I can get to play.
Narwhals swimming in the ocean, causing a commotion, cause they are so awesome. Narwhals swimming in the ocean, pretty big and pretty wide, they beat a polar bear in a fight. Like an underwater unicorn, they've got a kick-ass facial horn, they're the Jedi of the sea, stop Cthulhu eating me. Narwhals, they are narwhals.
They are narwhals. They're like underwater unicorns.
Wow.
And they can beat up polar bears. However, they cannot beat up killer whales. And
am I gonna cry? Am yeah. I going to cry in this story?
No, you don't have to cry in this story. It's a very true. It's just nature. It's one of the seven laws of acceptance.
I'm supposed to go into nature every day.
I'm supposed to go in and witness the amazing beauty of nature and then witness how destructive and cruel it is. And I guess that's what I'm supposed to take from this. Because so here we are. Up at the North Pole, or in Canada, upper Canada, and there's more water to, you know, that whales, killer whales, can go up into, and they're doing
because
that.
Of the melting ice.
Yes, they don't like ice; they hate ice, so they stay away from ice.
This is a killer whale.
Yeah, and narwhals, they don't mind the ice, nor other whales that are bigger. And I think dome whales. I think they're called. They're bigger whales. Like 50, they weigh 50 tons more. And what happens is. And we witnessed this on Nova. They had a fishing boat, and they're seeing these killer whales, like 25 of them, basically attack this narwhal pod. And they did it by pushing them against the shore, And then one tried to escape and was not successful because they cannot outrun a whale, a killer whale. Narwhals are kind of slow. And got eaten. You know, the killer whales were happy. The narwhal pods, they ate a couple more. And it was just tragic. And you're just seeing this group of narwhals fending for themselves. And like, and you're just, they're going, and luckily this is all happening underwater. We don't see a lot of it, thank God. And you're just going, I feel like I just witnessed a mass murderer.
Right.
You know, this is horrible. But it's nature. It's nature.
Did they normally eat narwhals, but before the melting?
They developed a taste for them now.
But I mean, what they used to eat?
Other fish, like seals, other fish, and they would eat other whales.
Right.
They're known. You know, I don't know where I picked this up. Mm-hmm. I literally thought that killer whales were vegetarians. Like they just opened their mouth and ate plankton all day long.
Yeah.
Where did I hear that
and
dumb story
and
from?
And is that why they're now called killer whales? Because they kill other whales?
They've always been called killer whales. I'm not sure why they're called killer whales. Good point. But I'm going to say because they have really good hunting skills.
Got it.
I mean, what they do with other whales is they'll separate the moms from their calves and then attack the calf.
Oh, God.
I know. And whales will fend for their calf. They'll try to defend their calf. But if you get cut like 20 killer whales together, you know, they're going to, you know, so. And so what has happened with these some whales, they've tracked them and they've tracked killer whales and they have all these. They show a map of all the tracking that's going on. And these one whales are actually 50 tons bigger than the killer whale. They're all hanging out near the shores now because they stay as far away from these killer whales as possible because these guys are just...
Brutal.
Brutal. And so I want to also talk about one more thing. I want to talk about a cool new... podcast / more like a dadcast on video that has popped up into my life. And I'm loving it. Do you know what I'm talking about, girlfriend?
I sure do. You're talking about Greg, your brother, my son.
From the same mother. My brother from the same mother.
He's got a dadcast.
Yes.
On Punk Cat Films. Go there on YouTube.
Yeah. Punk Cat Films is the channel. And he just called himself the Dad Cast.
Absolutely.
It's like the Dad Cast number one, number two. I think there's three or four up now. And I'm really enjoying it.
It really is about
his life.
His life, the trials and tribulations, the ups and downs of being a stay-at-home dad.
Right. And they're 10 minutes long. They're just like a little slice of life. And he's got his little notes like Adam Carolla does. And
you'll get to see how much he looks like Tom Cruise.
And sometimes he does, sometimes he doesn't. I'm like, maybe here, you know, maybe not. I don't know. I have to figure that out. But I love it because I don't have kids. I love where he comes from. You know, like he was talking about this idea about kids and paper. Come on, you know what I'm talking about. What's that all about? They're wasting lots of paper. What's that about? And we're going through, I can put them through college for the amount of paper they're going through. And then you can tell that there's wheels going on in his mind, like, how do I save enough money to put them through college? I must figure out this paper madness. And he came up with a solution to the paper madness. And
a tree farm.
A tree farm. Yes, a tree farm. And so
for every spiral notebook of paper, he must plant a tree.
Oh, for sure. And he says it reminds him of The Shining and how when Jack Nicholson was writing his book and literally he just had
all work and no play make Jack the dull boy.
Exactly. Over and over and over again. And he was commenting on how, like, you know, all I have is just like weird pictures, and I'm sure they mean a lot to the girls.
Right.
But I can't decipher them yet. I mean, that's the whole thing about being a dad and having two girls. Their doodles mean a lot to them. And his job is to figure out, what do these doodles mean? There may be the meaning of life in these doodles. And if I could just break the code, it's like hieroglyphics, right? I mean, he just gets it. And he's like, oh my God, I have the Rosetta Stone right now. I have figured it out. And I understand it.
What a cultural shock. Because when I was a kid, my parents would hit me over the head if they found me wasting paper.
Yes.
What is this you're doing? This is scribble. Yeah. What is this? Knock it off.
Scribble? It's not scribble, Mommy and Daddy. I mean, it's just for you. This is a picture of our family. This is how I feel inside. It's like, no, give me your fingers and give me the ruler. Where's your father's belt? I need it right now.
Exactly.
You're wasting paper.
What happened between then and now? I don't get it.
As Russell Simmons puts it, we are having a cultural evolution.
Awakening.
A cultural awakening.
That's right.
And so you never know what you're going to find those scribbles of kids and what they will tell us, the meaning of life. What you hope not to see, and I'm sure my brother has not, but if I was a parent, I remember babysitting back in the day. I was a young babysitter, and I had three kids I was babysitting. And I find that almost borderline
crazy
now, because I was 12 years old.
I can remember going, is this possible? You're going to be babysitting? Oh, I can do it, Mom.
I can do it.
She's going to give me like $140 a week or something.
No, you're mistaken by 100.
Oh, really?
They're going to pay you $40 a week. Okay. I was making $1 an hour.
It seemed a lot back then.
It was a lot. I saved all my money for the whole summer, and I felt I was the richest kid in the world.
You always had a lot of money when you were a kid.
Something happened.
I don't know what happened.
Yes, something happened. Well, $40 a week doesn't go very far anymore. However, I remember I was sitting in the main floor, and the kids' bedrooms were upstairs, and a kid runs down, and she's 6 years old, and she's like, I'm so scared. There's a guy on the balcony, because they had a balcony on their bedroom level, and he's got green eyes. I'm so scared. And I thought to myself, okay. It's probably a nightmare. But in my mind, I'm thinking, man, it's a demon or an alien. And so I called 911, and I know I couldn't say there's a demon or an alien outside the people I'm babysitting's window. I can't say that. Uh-huh. I go, listen, I'm just a little scared right now. A person I'm babysitting, so there's somebody outside their window. I'm going to go check it out, but I'm going to keep you on the line just in case something bad goes down.
Oh, good.
But most likely, it's just a nightmare.
This is you
and
at 12 years old. Wow, you're
maybe
so
13.
Smart.
Yeah. And so she's like, all right. So I run up there and I go, well, I don't see anything, so I guess we're okay. But in my mind, I go, it could be a demon. It could be a burglar.
Alien.
It could be an alien, but not on my watch.
Oh, hell no.
And not today.
Not today.
So the kids were saved for another day.
That's right.
And then, but, you know, I never wanted to look at their writings. First of all, I never wanted to see how they projected me. Like, who's this person here? Oh, that's you, Julie. Oh, geez, I look like a crab. And, you know, and I never wanted to see a flying saucer or an alien an angel. Didn't want to see any of that stuff in their pictures.
Right.
So I say, God bless you, Greg, for having the patience and the wisdom to protect your children's writing and figure out how not to waste paper, not how to say no. Like, I'm not saying no to you kids, but how to go, well, how do I protect the environment?
Even just because, I mean, I just really think, you know, my dad would just say, just hit her over the head.
Yeah.
Just start knock that shit off.
Where's the ruler? Knock her off. Like, no writing. Yeah. No more writing, kids.
No wasting paper in this house.
Sit there in the corner and just sit there and think about what you've done.
That's right. Just meditate.
Now it's meditate. Oh, we need to meditate. Before it was, sit in that corner and I don't want to hear from you. Till when, Daddy? Till when? Till I say when.
That's right.
Then it became time out with your timer. How old are you? You know, I'm 4 years old, Daddy.
That's four minutes.
4 minutes then. Yeah. Okay, we'll put a timer on. You just need to chill for 4 minutes. Yeah. Now it's like, it's time to meditate in the corner. All the same thing.
Yeah, mine was like, you know, hey, what are you screaming and crying about? I'll give you something to cry about.
I brought you into this world. I'll take you out.
Exactly.
I think that is actually a Bill Cosby line. And Oops. Speaking of Bill Cosby, real quick, just really quick snapshot. One of the people I'm buying Christmas presents for, Doug's kids, they wanted albums because they got a new turntable and they're so excited. And I've gone and I've been on this hunt for some really cool albums. And at every place I've gone to, there's been a Bill Cosby album, a comedy album. And I have been dying to get one
because
I just think it would be so funny. Meta. Ironic. And I don't know if she would take it that way though. Mm-hmm. She might take it by, we are not supporting this person.
I am not participating in this, really.
But I would think it would just be hysterical to see how family-oriented he once was.
Yeah.
To know that in the back.
Lurking in the back.
It's sort of like,
allegedly lurking in the back.
You know, allegedly.
Huge horse tranquilizers.
Yeah, allegedly. But it's sort of like Dexter, you know, on Showtime.
Yes.
You know, he was a serial killer. Mm-hmm. But he also was a family man, and to curb his serial killer, he became a coroner, and he would then only go after bad people, I think. Mm. I think that was part of his thing, his charisma.
So to make lemonade out of lemons.
Yeah, he knows he's a real sick F, but to curb that, he figures out, well, how can I fit into society? Mm-hmm. And his dad knew he was a sick F and chose to figure out, well, son, you need to figure out how to curb this part of you and be a part of society, or you're going to spend the rest of your life in jail. Mm-hmm. So why not use your demon stuff for good and work at a coroner's office and fight crime and only kill bad people? I don't know.
And also maybe my granddaughters will take their scribbles and become Jackson Pollocks.
Oh, for sure. Have you seen some of that stuff?
Or
Picasso? Picasso! Can I say one more thing? I was watching, I love HBO documentaries. I got to say two things out really quick. Oh, this is horrible. We're going to go long. That's horrible. they're talking about the comics in The New Yorker. And one comic was a picture of Picasso's. And the quote underneath is, my eyes are over here.
That's great. I love it.
And this other one. I love that one. And this other comic, which I laughed hysterically. But the comment, the guy goes, he laughed and he goes, oh, this cartoonist is better than that. But I laughed hysterically and he giggled once, but he said, this cartoonist is better than that. And it was two women in very short skirts knocking on the door of a hotel room, and a bear opens up, a real life bear. And he goes, I asked for two hikers, not like two hookers. I said, send up two hikers, not two hookers. I laughed hysterically. And then he goes,
He's
better than that. I'm like, you know what? But I'm not.
We're not.
I'm not. So, girlfriend, highlight the show today.
It was great.
It was great.